You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
I am Danny Schaefer. I am part of our leadership team called Access Ministry at our church. It's a special needs ministry that we have here at Dwell. Today, I'm really excited to share with you guys about our ministry, and hopefully you guys learned some things, which I know you will. So we are here for XSI. So the first will be last, or the last will be first, is our theme. So we get that from these verses in Matthew 19:30. It says, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Again in Mark 8:35, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." And then Luke 9:48, "Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is the least among you all, who is the greatest." So we are going to focus here on, we've been serving individuals that we've been giving up our lives to serve, and we really believe that they're going to be the first, and that we have such spiritual lessons to learn from them. And I can't wait to share with you guys what these, we have a panel here, they'll share at the end. We can't wait to share with you guys what we've been learning from these individuals that have been serving their lives, and such a blessing for us to be around. So in order for us to have good context of what we're talking about, we need to define what a disability is for the context of this teaching. So definition of a disability, both in the body, so any lack of capacity to do something required, to participate in activities considered important or typical in your society. So this can be a physical disability, developmental disability, emotional, that's all in the body, but also in the world. So think about that. So attitudes, environments, and policies that exclude people with differing abilities from participating in those activities. So in other words, disability is both. It is part of a person, and it also can be created by the environment. So that's what we want to define here. So the little description of our breakout session was, are there spiritual lessons that we can all learn from serving individuals with disabilities? We, of course, believe so. So how this session's going to go, we're going to talk a little bit about the mission, so the missional possibilities for a special needs ministry, and then I'm going to share about the ministries we have here at Dwell, give you an overview on how we've been doing that here and how we continue to grow. And then I'm going to stop, and then these individuals are actually going to share about their opportunities and how they've been serving already in their groups. And so I can't wait to hear from them. And then at the end, they're going to be able to share how they've grown spiritually and what God has taught them. And then don't worry, we're going to open it up and you guys can ask questions. So if you have any questions as we're going throughout, I'd ask that you write them down. I'm not going to be able to stop in between because we have a lot to kind of slowly unpack, but we will give you time after. And if we don't get time to that, we'll have our contact information. So let's get started. So we have the mission, you know, the Great Commission from Jesus. He tells us, Matthew 28, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," to Jesus. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." So God's mission has never changed throughout the entire Bible. God has always had a mission to redeem his people, go and seek the lost so they can be redeemed, okay, and have that relationship with him. And we know that's also done through Jesus Christ. So we are called to then also go out and reach individuals and go reach unreached people groups and engage in them so that they can also have a redeemed relationship with God. A lot of the stuff I got for this breakout session was from a paper called Missing Mission, the Missional Possibilities for Special Needs Ministry by a guy named Greg Bauman. He says that people with disability are a people group whose context is rarely engaged by the church. But the powerful presence of God in his mission can be profoundly experienced in a special needs ministry. So again, God's mission is to reach everyone, and he wants that all of us to be a part of that. And that can be really expressed really well. There's a couple of reasons maybe we're not seeing this in our churches, or maybe it's a ministry they're not really seeing it in our churches, like it says, or as engaged or rarely engaged. Let's talk about that. So another quote from this paper says, most of families with disabilities are not coming because life. It is just too hard. And we are not reaching them because we do not yet see them. This is really true. Another quote from Bauman says, when we take into account the caretakers and other members of their families, there are a great many people in our neighborhoods who need to hear the gospel, but they cannot because they are unable to come to our churches. So in many ways, people with families of people with disabilities are unreached people group, and they're underengaged, and they live right next door. And I have an example of this just this week. Some stuff was going on in our neighborhood, and I was able to talk to some neighbors, and I was sharing that I was getting ready to go and put this together, and I couldn't wait to talk about how churches can get engaged and how it can be really difficult for families to want to come to church and all the things that get in the way. And she was able to share with me. She goes, oh, I love going to church. I love going to church. They have a son who's an adult with autism who didn't get diagnosed until he was an adult. But she said, I have my faith still, but we stopped going to church because it was too hard. It was too hard to bring him to church. So these quotes really impact me because it really is our neighborhoods. It really is our next door neighbors. We go right outside. We can reach these people. So again, we can go out and reach these individuals because we need to go to them. To expect them to come to church, there's a hill they have to climb to get in. So we as believers need to go and reach them. We may not see them because we're not going out. And it's not for a lack of opportunity to be able to do so. So right here in Columbus, in Franklin County, I got the recent stats from the County Developmental Disabilities Board, and they are planning to serve 7,231 individuals just here. And then in Delaware, which is close to our main campus, they plan to serve 2,500 individuals and families. Now remember this, when you're thinking about those numbers, you also think about their caretakers, their providers, they have multiple providers, family members, siblings. So there's lots of people to be reached here. So in this area of spiritual growth and development, individuals with developmental disabilities are, again, a large, under-reached, under-engaged people group. Families and caregivers are often on the fringe of body life due to the challenges of finding a place within the body of Christ for individuals with developmental disabilities. So again, we have opportunities here to reach people. I was just talking to Shannon today, who's a leader on our team, and she was talking about how this one caretaker was always coming to the Saturday night Bible study and helping, and would come on Saturday morning and drop the individual off to his parents in the morning. But now they're starting to see that he's also now staying for some of the CT teachings. So are you seeing that this is a missional opportunity, that it's not just one individual that we get to be blessed to be around and serve and learn from? The opportunity is times these individual numbers by 4, 7. We have a lot more people to reach that get to hear the gospel by serving this type of ministry. So that kind of gives you the overview of the mission opportunity that we have. As far as ministries, to give you guys kind of an idea, here at Dwell, the Dwell Access Ministry, it exists to create and improve accessibility to the gospel for people with disabilities by providing specific support to adults, students, and children with disabilities, as well as their families, in several distinctive ways. So let's talk about our Sunday morning service for their children. We call it OASIS Access Program. What we do here is, I won't read the whole definition of this. I'll give you a quick overview. We have like Sunday school classes, and we might have an individual in that class that needs some extra support, but he or she wants to be around his peers, and the parents want that as well. So what we do is we find what we call a buddy, a one-on-one volunteer that will come in and work with that student. The student gets to engage with his peers. He doesn't have to be separated. He wants to be involved, but yet completely being included in hearing the gospel. It's really an awesome thing. I get to work with a kid every Sunday morning, and he always makes me really happy. So he just gets real excited, and I love seeing him grow each week to week. Another program that we have is called the Hub Classroom. This is a classroom, again, on the Sunday morning service where you might need a less stimulating environment. We have a curriculum there that Megan is one of our other team leaders. She creates this curriculum. She makes all the art and books, and they have a study that they go through each week. And this is a continual stay that builds on each other. So this is just another extra classroom. Also, maybe if one of the students that has a buddy might need a break, this is a classroom that for them, they could probably go in there and take a break or go to the playground. But again, you have the support by having a buddy in the class. So those are how we do it here on Sunday morning with the children's service. I talked about the hub. And then we have a Saturday night Bible study. This meets twice a month. They get together. They also break into a small group, like a men's group and a women's group, and they pray together. Then they come together with music and an awesome teaching. And it's been really awesome to see and exciting. I was a caretaker for an individual last summer, and I was able to bring him to one of the Saturday night, and he was just so happy, and he just was so excited to be there for the music, and he was jumping up and down, and that wasn't a big deal, and it was amazing. So this is a great, great thing. I'll describe it as a place to learn God's word at Dwell. The Young Adult Home Church is a gathering of high school students and older. They use a variety of ways to study and teach the Bible, and they grow in their relationship with Christ and each other. You really get to see their relationships grow. And or they transition into home groups as individuals desire. Another thing here on our access team, we have the American Sign Language. We have a leader named Stephanie. She helps get interpreters involved for the big meetings or classrooms or sometimes home churches. So we get volunteers that way, and she helps oversee all of that. So again, it just helps give access to the teaching. We don't want to create barriers for people getting to hear God's word. And so this is another opportunity to help get over barriers that could be there. And some resources we have for home churches. We have the home group liaison. So home groups are the heart here at Dwell. And the adult home group liaison helps adults with disabilities find accessible Bible study opportunities by contacting home groups and facilitating their inclusion. So that's awesome. We also have the student ministry liaison. We started that a few years back. They will visit the meetings. This person works directly with the leadership team in student ministry, so you'll college group, high school group mainly. And I will go and meet with those leaders if they need help and need coaching to come give visions on how to help include the individual. Some of those can just help give visions. How can this individual serve? I remember I gave one advice was, this one girl, she's really distracting. She wants to go run off with the boys or run out different places, but she loves serving and loved being there. So we gave her a vision of, how can she help set up the basement? Can she help lay out the Bibles? Can she help pray before? And can we get other people in the Bible study, her peers, to kind of rally and advocate for her and come alongside and come up with creative ways? And she ended up flourishing and was so excited. So we helped provide that opportunity. The next thing that we're working on is trying to do quarterly Zoom sessions where access leaders will meet with any group that wants prayer or coaching on how to best love individuals in their groups. So this will be a time that's offered every quarter. We get on Zoom, we'll pray for you. We'll go over any questions that you might have, and we want to help come alongside you guys in that way. So those are just a glimpse of our ministries that are still growing. We're doing the best we can. We need lots of volunteers. So there's a buddy list right now there's a wait list for people that families want a buddy on Sunday mornings at CT, and we don't have enough volunteers right now. So I have to tell the parents, you'll have to wait. So if you know anybody or are involved or have a heart for that, you guys obviously are here. Don't hesitate to come up after. We have a volunteer form, and we'd love to talk with you more. So there's lots of opportunities to serve and volunteer in this ministry. We want to continue to see it grow. So as for that, those are just the overview of the ministries, how we serve in our ministry here at Dwell. But what I'm really excited to do is to hear from these individuals who've already been serving on their own in their groups, how God has already led them to serve, that maybe haven't even met with us, and they've just been serving in this way anyway. So I want to take some time. They're going to introduce themselves and which grade level or age level they've been working in. And they're going to share about some practical advice moving forward. And at the end of them talking, then they're going to end up all sharing how has God grown them spiritually by serving these individuals. So, Becca, do you want to start?
Sure. So I'm Becca. I'm in an adult group. and I've been working with a woman who is around my age for the last 7 years. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about what that's been like and just kind of some things I've learned in the last 7 years and provide you guys with just some things that I've noticed and as I've gotten to know her community. So I guess the first observation that I've had over the years is it's been really helpful to have a point person. So somebody who's willing to, you can call it discipleship, mentorship, or just an advocate, but somebody who's willing to be invested in this person's spiritual and overall health and ability to be fully incorporated. And if you are here today and that sounds like it could be you, definitely respond to God's call, because it's possible that, you know, other people in your group or other people around you might not feel that call and might be confused or might be scared. They might not be able to see like how this person could fit into your current Bible study structure. So I really want to like encourage you to be that person and to follow your burden there. You can be the advocate for somebody in your life. The second thing that's been helpful just over the years has been like getting to know her family. A lot of people with disabilities, such as like autism or Down syndrome, are actually like really close to their parents, even as adults. So parents, you know, they've been their advocates for their kid for their entire life. They've been their provider, their biggest fan. And so their parents are actually going to know like their biggest strengths, their weaknesses, and their needs more than anybody else. It may feel awkward to get to know an adult's parents, like, hey, you know, you're an adult and I want to know your family. Like that can be kind of awkward, but in the disability community, I've actually found that it's not only accepted, but it's really encouraged, and people really, like parents feel really loved by that. So it doesn't hurt to ask your friend, like if you can do a dinner with their family or just like set up a meeting or even just get their number. And this is something that you would do with your friend's knowledge. Like you're not going to be doing this behind their back or anything like that. And then once that relationship is established, it's like a huge resource. It's a huge resource for you, and it's also a resource for them. You know, them having your number, they can ask you questions kind of, and even just helping you figure out like how to incorporate this person. What do they need rides? Do they need, you know, X, Y, Z? They can really help you, and you can do that as a team. And that's been like super helpful for me. And it's also been really helpful too when like times are hard and there might be something going on, you know, in my friend's life that is stressful or just like an emotional period of, you know, negativity or being down, and, you know, we kind of can support each other, and that's really cool. The third thing that I've kind of observed over the years is being willing to wade into kind of awkward conversations. Don't be afraid to discuss socially inappropriate behaviors with the person, but privately and like when warranted and in love. It can be really awkward, but our friends with certain disabilities like autism, they might not actually know or understand what's socially inappropriate. And if they did, they actually probably wouldn't want to do that behavior. They need help understanding what is socially accepted and what's not. Most people, you know, obviously don't want to offend people unnecessarily. And it's okay to be honest about how you feel, about how something might make you feel that they do. But it's important to note that you're not telling them what to do or what not to do, because we want to advocate for them to be their own voice and to make their own decisions. You're not their parent. You're not the one that knows, you know, what they should and shouldn't do. We're just providing them with information and with facts, and empowering them to make their own choice. An example of this, there was a guy that my friend had brought to home church, and he had been coming for a little while, but like not very long. And we had home church one night, and the leaders that we were meeting at their house, they had a home church roster, like with everyone's addresses and phone numbers on the fridge, just for their convenience. And I went inside to the kitchen, because we were meeting outside at the time, it was during COVID, and I saw him writing down everyone's numbers and addresses and putting them in his phone. And I was like, oh, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, he showed me what he was doing, and I was like, so I just want to let you know, like, some people might not feel very comfortable if you have their information that you didn't give it to them directly. Like, that might actually make them feel uncomfortable. I'm just letting you know, like, you could ask people one-on-one for that information instead of getting it this way. That is an option. And he decided on his own to delete the information and ask people directly. So, again, it's not, like, a moral issue, but, and I'm not telling him what to do. I'm just letting him know, like, hey, this is kind of a little bit not accept, you know, would make people feel uncomfortable. Our goal isn't to like make people normal or change them, quote unquote normal, but to help them navigate the world around them. Because we live in a really weird, confusing social environment for a lot of people, so it's hard to navigate for them. So you can be a partner in them navigating your home church environment. Yeah, again, our goal isn't to control them. We should be willing to let them be different and accept their differences and actually enjoy their differences, not trying to force them into like a box of what's normal. God made us all different and unique, and that's okay if they're, you know, going to be different at times. Yeah, I think we want to be careful to distinguish like between something that's a moral issue and something that's kind of a gray area. And also just being willing to serve and kind of put up with behaviors that might make you feel a little bit uncomfortable at times. Understanding that, you know, there can be some lenience. Yeah. So, and then obviously like with moral issues, I would just say like treat it just like you would anybody else. Inform them, lead them to scripture, pray for them, things like that. And I guess the last thing that I want to talk about was casting a vision for your friend. Finding ways for the individual to serve and be incorporated in the body of Christ. You can do this as like an individual discipler or as a team with other believers, and you can be creative. So we're like an every member ministry. So including people with disabilities in your group, in your home church, is definitely godly and kingdom centered. God has made us all different with different strengths, and we can look at Romans 12 to know that. And there's a lot of ways to encourage people to serve and have a place in your group. And if you're having trouble like with ideas, definitely contact Access. They can help you. An example of this, there was a guy, actually the same guy, about the other story. He was coming out to our group, and he like has a really hard time communicating because of his autism and his disability. So, you know, he'll like say sentences, but they're kind of like all jumbled up, and it's like a bunch of random words, and sometimes you just don't really know what he's trying to communicate. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But anyways, he had been coming out, and one of our home church leaders realized that he could actually read really well. So like, if you give him something to read, he can read very clearly. And so one day she was teaching, and she gave him a verse ahead of time, and he read it for everyone, and it was like really cool. You could tell that he felt empowered by that, and he was like really happy, and you could just tell he was excited to do that every week. So just a little way like that, getting someone to participate in a way that they're actually able to, and it edifies everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. And I think the caveat with this too is to just like, similar to before, but not trying to force your vision or your idea of what personal growth looks like for somebody. Some people grow differently, and serving and growing with God is going to just look different. And I think casting a vision for their spiritual walk is important to make sure we're doing that in line with what God is doing in their life. An example of this with the girl that I've been studying with, you know, she, because of her intellectual disability, she can't like read a whole book on her own or like understand if we were to read long passages. It just wouldn't be practical. So we just like look at one verse a week, and we kind of meditate on that and talk about it. And she has really cool insights, and we pray together. And that's been something that we've done for the years, and it's worked. And it's not what discipleship looks like for everybody. So I think just, it's really cool that God, we can see in scriptures that God has a burden for people that are disadvantaged, and we see that in the way Jesus loves children in the Bible, and we also see that during his ministry and how he treated people who had disabilities or who were blind or different things. He loved them and treated them as no different from anybody else. So I think hopefully as a church and individuals, we can learn to love those who are different from us. And this communicates to both them and their families, and what Danny was talking about earlier, like their community, that God loves them and that God is actually accepting of them and wants them to grow. And, you know, we can be a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. So that's all I had.
Yep. Next up is Megan.
I'm Megan, and this is Lane. And Lane is my daughter's, one of the home church leaders for my daughter, who's in high school. She's 17. And we're just going to talk about kind of what our experience has been working together from a parent perspective and a high school leader. So I actually am that proactive mom that's like in your face when you don't really want that mom to be in your face. And part of the reason is because, like Becca was getting at, I do know my daughter. I mean, I've been through a ton with her, very low lows and very high highs. And I wanted to make sure that as she went into a high school group, she had success. That started in her middle school group. When she was getting ready to finish up in middle school group, Stephanie Steinman was one of her leaders, and I met with them and I said, you know, can you tell me some of the things that you saw that were barriers to her growth, that were challenges with the other kids that she was around, so that I can really pass that information on to her next set of leaders. So before they even started in Global Hawk, we were meeting with the leaders. We probably met maybe a month before she kind of started to start that conversation. I was able to convey to them kind of some of the challenges. She has autism and ADHD, and so her socialization is not typical, and she really was learning how to do mimicking behavior. And so she was often caught up in lies because she was trying to fit in. So, you know, they might be talking about a book or a movie that they saw, and she wanted to feel like she fit in, so she would lie and say she had read it or seen it, and then very quickly, you know, she didn't, you know, and then that broke trust, right? And so those were some of the character things that we were really wanting for her to be able to work through is, you know, how do you socially understand that it's okay to not have seen a movie or a book, but to still be part of that conversation and trying to help her gain those skills. And so very early on, we were like making sure that her new group knew that they were supported, right? We wanted them to feel that they had us as a resource to really help promote successfulness in her home church.
Yeah, I think just to, kind of add on to that, that was really key, I think, for us as high school group leaders, especially because we didn't have a ton of experience working with somebody with disabilities or autism. And I think, like people mentioned earlier, just having parents who were like advocates for their child was just so key and is so key. And I think another thing that was just really helpful was like hearing from the parents, like even learning things like something that I've grown a ton in is like excessive talking. And so just like in knowing how to redirect that and really be able to like, so we were able to hear from his parents, like it's actually really helpful to, you know, just stop and like redirect her, and she's not going to be like hurt by that, where somebody else, you know, may be. And so that's an example where, you know, we were able to learn like it's okay to, you know, be very direct, and saw really the fruit of that and her grow a lot in that area. And that was something that we could also discuss with, and it was cool to see that. And it was cool to even see and have that discussion with her and her wanting to grow in that area. And we at times developed a plan of like, you know, she even recognized when I start talking a lot and don't stop, that's actually because I'm anxious. Mm-hmm. And having that conversation with, and her giving permission to us as well to be like, it seems like you're talking a lot. Are you feeling anxious about something? You know, let's go talk to this other student together. So that, I think that was something really helpful early on to know and then kind of learn and build off of. Yeah, I think it's just another thing that we've really implemented that I think is another creative way to invest in someone with disabilities is we kind of came up with as leaders a like month to month we're going to spend either one-on-one time with or like one-on-two with another student, where it didn't necessarily look the same as, you know, formal discipleship or something. But we wanted to like have that investment where we could have those conversations and, you know, just like invest in her. And I think she's really enjoyed that. We've benefited from that. It's been cool to bring other students into that too, like sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, and then she's, we've also gotten the benefits, not just one leader or something, but actually we all learn from each other. And, you know, I think it's taught us a lot too. So I think that's a creative way that we've found is like helpful.
And I think one of the things, just to piggyback on that, that's really helped grow is that group mindset for her, because everybody socializes a little bit differently, and that's her area of struggle. She doesn't pick up on cues like typical people might. And so for her to interact with all of these different people at different levels gives her different opportunities to be able to read body language, to understand social cues. If you guys could have known my daughter even 3 years ago to who she is now, her level of socialization and the way she relates with people, her growth has been phenomenal. And I give that to the Lord because of what this home church has done for her. Like, it has been so sweet, and I'm gonna get choked up, but so sweet to see her growth because people were willing to invest that time, and not just one person, but this body came around her and loved her that way. And that's what's so sweet about this ministry, is there's so many different ways to go about serving these people who aren't just, you know, necessarily typical, right? But they are, you know, still in God's vision, mm-hmm. you know, and created by Him and loved by Him, and they have such a role to play. And I can see burden for other people in her group now, and so to see her think about other people outside of her own social anxiety that she has, I mean, it's just like, as a parent, like, it is one of the most exciting things of my entire life to see this growth in her. And that is because of, you know, what these girls have done collectively for her. Yeah, it's really sweet.
I've totally seen that as well. And I think two things to just add on to what I think we've seen as really helpful and beneficial to the community around us is, like, and it was said earlier, but wants to serve and giving her, building on her strengths, giving her specific ways she takes those steps, like praying at prayer group. You know, it just took some, you know, encouragement. And then, you know, you can really do this. It benefits our group, and you're praying to God, and God is using that. And she really, like, took those steps. So I think it takes some, you know, seeing what their strengths are and, like, really giving them that, you know, encouraging that option for them. And also, I think it's been so cool to have in a high school group where other students are learning how to interact and come alongside her as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And that's taken some direction, you know, talking to our other students about how we can support her and come alongside her, not to just, like, disregard mm-hmm. her or something like that. And I've really seen that when you talk to other students in our group, they want to do, like, mm-hmm. they want to do that as well. And so, yeah, and I think it's been so helpful to have his parents, like, alongside, just encouraging us as well, because, you know, we get to see a portion of her life at group, and we've seen the maturity and growth, but I think it's been so helpful to, like, have you guys encouraging us too, and, like, you know, we see a portion, but then you guys also, like, encouraging us. I think I've, like, just felt refreshed by that. So I think that's just another plug to definitely, like, have the people involved in their lives, like, alongside you. So
that's awesome.
And although, like, things have been so good, like, please know this, that it is not without hiccups in the road. Mm-hmm. As with all people, we are messy, and we've had big things that have come up that we're like, you know, and that we have to work through and deal with. But, you know, we were talking about them and strategizing about what's the best way to go about it. So it's not been all roses. There are trials, and that happens in with all of us in our lives, and we're figuring it out and trying to grow from it. And so, you know, I would love to say it's been all roses, but, you know, it hasn't. But that's been okay, too, because I think that's a lot of times where we learn is in failures. And that's what we have tried to teach all the way through her life. You know, she's come a long way, but still struggles with a lot of the same things she did 10 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Grace gets to share about the college ministry and that she's gone through. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I am in the college ministry. I've been in the college ministry since 2015. And I've gotten the privilege of being in home church with several people with special needs. For the last 6 years, up until about a month ago, I was in a group with a young woman who came out as a freshman in college, non-believer, who had autism. But it was undiagnosed, and she had a pretty dysfunctional home life and had no support from her family or, you know, just community at all, and was not aware of her disability, and it became pretty apparent to us through just her social interactions that she had autism pretty quickly. And she came out for about 8 months before she received Christ. She lived almost 30 minutes away. So at first, it was actually my ex-boyfriend who had brought her out. So I was like picking her up and dropping her off every week. And it was really difficult to get my home church to engage with her and support me in that. So I asked people if anyone would volunteer to be on a rotation to go pick her up and drop her off and just to sign up and let me know. And then I created a schedule for every meeting for someone to go get her and someone to take her home. So not only so that she didn't have to feel like a burden to like ask for rides or to feel bad for me always taking her, but also so that everyone in my group who volunteered would get an opportunity to spend some one-on-one time with her and really like get that opportunity to engage with her socially. People were intimidated because, you know, she did not have like very many social skills whatsoever. When you first, you know, tried to talk with her, it'd be very difficult to hear her, to understand what she was trying to communicate. She was often just wandering by herself at meetings or hovering on like the periphery of conversation, and getting that one-on-one time with her to be able to learn about her music interests, and she loved comics and movies and superheroes and all these things that we could have in common with her, and actually building those relationships was really key, and to have our group just serving her. And me and my best friend, who was really involved as well, would go and actually ask women in our cell group to invest in her, like pitch them on how they can have an impact by engaging with her spiritually. So there was about four or five of us who were regularly having conversations with her about the gospel and her interest in God. And we realized quickly that she loved reading, and she was in school for pharmacy, so she loved science. So we got her apologetic books like Discovering God, Evidence Unseen, and she would just eat them up. She read them, she would talk about them, and we got through a lot of her intellectual barriers about God. And then we realized it was mostly emotional barriers, things with her family and grief. And we spent several months wading through that with her each week. And did eventually see her come to receive Christ and pray on her own, which was so awesome. And then just to see the way that God transformed her life in the next 5 years, 6 years, has been just amazing. I like wish I had a long time to talk about all the things God has done. I just wrote some of them down so I wouldn't forget the big ones. So one of the hugest things was the change in her social engagement. She'd never had friends before, never belonged to anywhere, never had a community, not even really with her own family. So seeing her learn how to initiate with people, how to have friendships, how to be a part of conversations. We actually had a woman, my best friend, who we're still great friends. She's working today, couldn't be here, but she was asked to shepherd this girl and meet with her regularly. So they started meeting every week for like an hour or two and studying things about, you know, really practical things for her about how to love people, how to serve, how to have social interactions, how to share her faith with her family, how to have like a functional life. And that was like a huge impact. And that woman also was a great advocate for her in our home church. And whenever this woman would take a step of faith, ask someone to hang out, do something, this woman would immediately come in and try to get people to rally around her, to support her, not take her for granted or avoid her because she was more difficult to relate with and serve than other people. And I think if it weren't for this woman and her, like my friend Jackie, her commitment and her dedication to this woman, a lot of these things wouldn't have been possible in her life because she was just so influential. We saw her gain a lot of victory over her anxiety in social situations. We saw her participating a ton at meetings, like every meeting, home church prayer, CT. She would pray at CT and comment all the time, harvest meetings, like totally BA and putting us all to shame. We would see her like participating in group activities. Like I will never forget a cell group where she helped organize a lip sync battle and performed like an entire Michael Jackson song with like choreographed dancing and lip synced it in front of our whole cell group. And just, we were having so much fun and like, it was awesome. And she was just so like comfortable there, which was amazing. She graduated college. She got her license. She saved up, bought a car. She even got married to a believer. She lives with him in an apartment. She's a dog. She's a job. She's friends. She's just went up to the adult group. That's why I'm not in a group with her anymore. She was still in clinical counseling. We even, with a lot of prayer and a lot of advice, started to navigate the waters of helping her have awareness of her autism. It was something she was like very unwilling to talk about for a long time and she had a lot of shame about. And that's been one of the biggest things, is helping her work through a lot of her cognitive distortions and self-hatred, really, for feeling different and wrong and broken. I never got how other people did things. I don't understand. I'm just different. There's something wrong with me. One of the analogies I used to help her decide to seek a diagnosis and help and support was talking about how I'm left-handed. I was like, you know, I'm left-handed, and that actually makes my life harder because the world is built for right-handed people who do things differently than me, and I have to learn how to adapt to using all these tools and things that aren't built for me. And that doesn't make me worse than anybody else or bad or broken. It just means that some things are a little bit harder. And for you, if your brain works differently, if you're on the autism spectrum, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or that you're worse than other people or that you're broken. It just means that you're different and you've been living in a world built for other people that's made your life harder. And wouldn't it be super nice and comforting to know that, you know, that there's other people who are like this, who think like you, and that there are things that we can do and people in your life can do to support you and make things easier and to understand why you feel different. Another thing that has been so encouraging is that she had such a love and burden for her family and for evangelism. And we actually saw her bring out both her younger sisters to our college group. And one of them received Christ and was discipled in the high school ministry. She got to have a huge impact on her family that way. She also, even though communicating like verbally is hard for her, she's a great writer and her dad is like a published author. So she decided to spend like months writing down her testimony and all the evidence God had given her for belief in him and personal experience and the gospel, and she wrote this beautiful essay on her testimony and sent it to everyone in her extended family and just wants so badly for them to know God and just prays for them all the time. And so to see her use her skills and giftings there to communicate and be used by God was so encouraging to me and our group. I guess some things that we did that I thought were super helpful was to coach the people in our home church on like ways that they could help her. So a big thing was to treat her like an adult. People have like hit on that, but like not to coddle her. It was tempting to want to treat her almost like a 10-year-old because of her social skills. But to realize that she was like a very like responsible adult who could make her own decisions and who was capable of thinking for herself and engaging in adult conversations and had the same responsibilities that any other adult would have. And that was really huge, not to coddle her or dismiss her or to like not engage with her, but to help her understand how she affected other people and how she could relate with other adults in her group. Mm-hmm. And then another big thing was to help people know how to respond when she was overwhelmed. You know, like she would, in the middle of teaching, as if she started to feel like really convicted or guilt, she would start spiraling in guilt and start like rocking or hyperventilating or crying. And she knew that was not like normal behavior and would start to feel more insecure and more overwhelmed and feel stupid. And so helping like our subgroup especially like know how to, in the moment, be like, hey, it's okay. Like, calm her down, like normalize the behavior, and then go have a one-on-one conversation with her later and not overreact in the moment and make her feel like even more different than the rest of us. So yeah, that has been my experience with her, and yeah, just like so blessed.
Yeah, thanks. I'm gonna quickly just maybe overview if you want to jump in. You can hear from them. It's not only this is a whole body serving one another, and there's parts of the body, and there's reasons individuals come through our door. There's a reason they're at our home churches, and yes, it might seem different, or how do we interact? And it's okay to ask for help. That's also why our ministry team is here. But we also, as you can see, these individuals have been able to be creative and find ways to serve, and you're really tapping into how big God really is and how God wants to work. And so one or two of you can quickly, I want to give time for them to ask questions, can share just real briefly, how has your spiritual walk grown just by, and seeing God differently, just by willingness to serve and lay down your life to serve these individuals? Give you guys like a couple minutes.
I mean, I think one big way for me has been to like learn more patience, although I still feel like I'm pretty impatient, but also just like character growth in learning to set boundaries and know when I like can't do anymore, I can't handle something, or when like I need help, or just, yeah, setting healthy boundaries. Because in my situation with this individual that I've been working with, the boundaries have gotten blurred, or like the lines in our relationship have gotten blurred at different times, and that's made it hard as to, I don't know, just to navigate the relationship at times. So
So you've seen a lot of character growth in yourself that God used. How about one other person?
There was a few verses I wrote down that this person reminded me of that I feel like she witnessed to our home church. One was 2 Timothy 1:7, where Paul says that we've been given a spirit of not of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And just her fearlessness to share her faith and to pray and be bold and unashamed of the gospel just like truly put our home church to shame. Like, you know, people underestimated her, and then to hear her share the ways that God was speaking through her, having an impact, really like made people realize their lack of ownership and boldness. Also just her profound love, which reminds me of 1 Peter 1:22, that we should love one another deeply from the heart. I mean, every plant I've been through with her, she's like sobbing and she's like, what's wrong with me? No one else is sad. And I'm like, it's because you love people so much and value your relationships so much. She gives the best gifts. She plans them out months in advance. And she just cares about people so much, more than I've ever really seen. Which just goes into her concern for others above herself, which reminds me of Philippians 2:3, that we should value others above ourselves. Just how if she knows something's going on in your life, she'll always come find me after a teaching, ask me how it's going. If we needed money for any kind of, epic or anything, she's always the first one to donate, to Venmo, to try to help. Even when she has, like, nothing to give, like, if we were moving, you know, she'd show up and move some boxes, just really truly views others in the body of Christ and in this world as more important than she is, and is so humble in her love for others. So those are all just so challenging to me.
So as you can hear, we could obviously talk all day about all these stories because they're so awesome, but we will give you guys some time to ask some questions now. And if we want to talk more, I could keep talking, but I want to hear if you guys had some questions, or feel free to ask or write down our email. This goes directly to all the leaders on the Access Ministry team. One of us will be able to help you
with any questions.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.